Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Turner, author of the Turner's Take Newsletter, also broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with broker-assisted clients, self-directed, hybrid is a mix of both. We work with speculators, hedgers, producers, and users. So feel free to reach out anytime. All my contact information is in the show notes for this podcast, and it's on the website. You can go to turnerstake.com. Newsletter is free, podcast is free. If you like this podcast newsletter, please send it along to somebody you think you'd like it, and we always appreciate positive reviews on Apple iTunes. Alrighty, so let's get into it here. We had a WASD report yesterday. I'm actually going to be on the road tomorrow speaking at an event, and I'll talk more about that next week after we've had the event. And I'm going to get into our price projections for 2020. I've had mine and my tables around for a while talking about it. I'm sure I've posted them and talked about them here, but I'm now seeing other analysts and firms start talking about it too. So first, the WASD, the December WASD for the grain markets, not a big deal. I don't think we saw a whole lot of changes by the USDA. I mean, soybeans was almost exactly the same from November. Wheat did come down a little bit in terms of ending stocks domestically, and that looked like in the Durham category was where it happened the most. I think it was on the I can't remember if it was the domestic or the exports, but it was demand driven. It wasn't supply driven, so that was good to see. And then with the corn market, we did see no changes domestically, but we did see 5 million metric more tons added to global stocks from China. Don't know exactly what that was all about, but anyways, it wasn't a very exciting report. As far as December WASDs go, it was actually quite tame, and the December WASD sometimes can be the one with the least changes of all year. So this just sets up for the January report. And in January, we are looking for production to come down a little bit for corn and soybeans. Wouldn't be surprised, though, if corn, ethanol, and exports also came down. So let's... I want to get into two things here. One, what we think is going to happen with this old crop, and more importantly, what we think is going to happen with new crop. And I'll touch on all three, corn, wheat, and soybeans. First, I'm going to just talk about wheat for a second. It sounds like with the front months, or the old crop of Chicago wheat is going to continue to get a shortage. And I wouldn't be surprised if the near months in Chicago started gaining again on the back months in Kansas City, just to basically defer or switch any kind of Chicago soft red winter wheat feed demand. It sounds like we're going to have issues with that on the supply side. That should keep the front month of wheat on the Chicago side supportive. I wouldn't be surprised if those spreads widened out a little bit more here, because the market's going to have to do something to basically encourage people who have been feeding that Chicago wheat to move to something else, whether it be corn or a higher protein wheat. That's what it sounds like the job of the market's going to be between now and the harvest for winter wheat, which is not until June or July. That was one takeaway and thought I've had. Two, let's start with corn. In the near term, I can see we're going to have corn left in the field in the Dakotas next year. You know, not going to harvest till the spring. There's a lot of issues with wet corn. The yields are going to come down. The thing is, so is exports and ethanol, most likely. So I still think ending stocks are between 1.8 and 2 billion in the January report. There is a potential for a bullish surprise where maybe the demand doesn't come down as much and the USDA does lower yield more than the market's looking for. That could happen. But I'm not, I'm just mildly bullish heading into the January report right now. For soybeans, it's the same deal. I wouldn't be surprised if demand actually went up a little bit, which would be bullish. And I think yield can come down a little bit, not as much as with corn, but there will be some soybeans left in the field. Not a lot, but there will be some. And I wouldn't be surprised if yield just came down a little bit for soybeans. We'll see what happens in that January report. And that should be supportive for January for beans, too. So maybe bean ending stocks are still in the 400s somewhere. Well, the direction in the near term for the near months for corn and soybeans, for corn, it's going to be South American weather, which we're kind of dry in Argentina. And for soybeans, not only South American weather, but any kind of potential China deal and what that may involve in terms of demand. And, you know, if China really does come in and buy a lot of soybeans here, that could be a difference maker. But if they don't, you know, we could be back down in like, you know, the 860 range for soybeans. I think 365 for front month corn holds a lot of value. All right, just had to step away there for a second. Usually get calls when I'm doing this. So, you know, so that sums up old crop for me. In terms of new crop, here's the thing. I've been talking about how corn can look really ugly next year. Beans wouldn't be so bad. And, you know, it's still a ways away for the market to focus a lot on the new crop for the 2021 year. But I've noticed now in the past 48 hours, quite a few analysts from the big houses and people that read are kind of on the same page that I am. We have 94 million acres of corn. I do think that could be a little bit lower. I know the consensus is about 94. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 93. Just because I don't think everyone's factoring in some of the North Dakota, South Dakota, way up north acres that the ones that don't get harvested or didn't get to do any field work, depending on where prices are in the spring, I can see some of those corn acres going corn prevent plant next year. But so 94 to 93 million acres corn, you get a trend line yield. I want to say that's about 178.5. Some pretty reasonable numbers for demand, even a bump a little bit in demand, like ethanol being 5.4 billion, which would be a little bit higher than this year. Exports going back to 2.1 billion, which I do think exports will be a little stronger because of the lower prices for U.S. corn. I'm still getting ending stocks at 2.8 to 2.9 billion, which for me is putting corn this time next year, like, or by, you know, or maybe, you know, that October, that August, September low we sometimes get, like 320 or lower, right? And here we are in like 390. I want to say as we're doing this recording here, let's see where December 20 corn is. These 20 corn, 388. I mean, there's a ways to go. The March 21 is now 398. And I know there can be issues. I know a China deal can include corn and ethanol. I know that we can still have issues in South Africa. I know we can have issues in planting and growing the United States over the summer. But if things generally go okay, like the South American crop is around what they expect, you know, within a couple hundred million bushels, if the U.S. crop at 94 million acres and a 170 yield is close to trend line and close to those acreage numbers, we're going to have a lot of corn. I mean, it could potentially, I mean, if we have a 180 yield, let's say we have a really good year after having a bad year, I mean, we could be at a 3 billion carryout. I mean, a 3 billion carryout means $3 corn, 320, 310. The perma bears out there, and they exist, will be calling for high twos in the futures when we get, you know, if that were the case when we get down there. But now those low prices will eventually spur exports, and also you'll see less acres, but that's a 2-year cycle out. I'm just talking about between now and, let's say, this time next year or next September, next fall, and that's not looking good. So we are hedged. I know I've been talking about this a lot. I'm gonna put my table out again, but you know, we're 30% sold in the futures market, and if you don't use the futures, 30% cash. We've also got some Bear spreads work in 20 versus 21, and I've bought some a while ago. We bought $4 puts, and I think for Turner's take, we're 50% hedged for next year. And I gotta tell you, I've never been this hedged before or sold before heading to a crop year, and I kind of want to get more, but I know it's also December, and there's a lot of time to go on this, but it's not looking good. It really isn't, and I think any kind of next rally we get, we're going to probably look to sell out of the old crop. We're 80% sold on corn. No problem buying it back later if things change, but if I'm staring down a 2.8 or 2.9 carryout next year, and now, yes, and you know what's interesting? Corn's down 5 or 6 cents today, 5 cents. I'm sure a lot of people are looking at that number for next year. And you may say that's a far way out, and it is, but it's going to overhang the market. Also, consider this, like, if D's corn is at 388, let's say we're at 390, I mean, what's the incentive to own corn when you're thinking about D's and you're saying to yourself, what if we're at 94 million acres in a trend line yield and carryout's going to be 2.8? If I'm a fund manager, if I'm a big money guy, I'm short corn in that scenario, and I'm not getting out unless I really think the ending stocks are going to be 2.5 or lower, right? Or or maybe 2.3 or 2.4 or lower. So there's like a 500 million bushel cushion that the funds probably have to believe will not be there before they go from short to flat. And how are you going to lose that? It's going to happen in South America, or China deal, or we got, maybe we're not 94 million acres next year, maybe we're at 91, but that we're not going to know that for a while. Or if the yields are sub 175, again, that's going to take a long while to develop. So there's no reason for the funds to get short unless the USDA really shocks everyone with a quarterly stocks report or yield revisions that are much lower, which could happen. I'm not saying they can't happen, but it doesn't look great. So that's my thoughts on corn. I will say with soybeans, and I'll post these tables, I'm a little bit more bearish. At 84 million acres and a 50 yield or a 15.5 yield, I see ending stocks in the mid fives. And that means we can, if we do lose any acres or yield, or if that China deal is big, because right now I have exports of about 1.9 billion. If we can get, 2.1 billion on exports back up there with China, then all of a sudden we're talking about ending stocks at 300. So you can see, or in the 300s for next year, not this year. So you can see for 2021, I can paint pictures in my head and realistic scenarios. Let's say they will happen, but realistic scenarios that have at least an honest chance of happening that could push ending stocks for soybeans into the 300s, that could push the stock to usage under 10%, and where soybeans can be solidly in the mid to upper nines in the front months and the deferreds over 10. I can see that. I can also see us being in the mid eights too by harvest if everything kind of goes against soybeans. And so I'm not interested in selling beans right now. I mean we can hedge it a little bit if we want, but I'm a lot more bullish on the potential for beans, because what we do is we say these are the likely demand numbers. And here, within, let's say, for production, let's say we're at expected acres and yield, and let's say we just go 5% either way on production, which is pretty normal range, between years. 5 to 10% is as bullish and as bearish as you can get for most years, unless it's like a real, once every decade or 20 years drought type thing. And the way seed technologies and farming practices have gone, it's even harder to get. I mean, you've really just got to have a drought. It seems like you have to have a crop-killing drought to get, anything more than a 5% drop in yield or something like that these days. But so for soybeans, still it presents a bullish picture. It's just the corn. It really is the corn where you either need a lot. We need, instead of 94 million acres, we need like 90. Let me see. What if we had 90? Here we go. Bear with me for a second here. If we had 90 million acres, let's see. Oh man, we're only at ending stocks at 2 billion. So that's the thing. I mean, then we have to have yield coming down. If we have 90 million acres and a 175 yield, then, geez Louise, we're still at a 1.76 carryout next year. So, I don't know. I think the funds know that. I think we're all doing the same projections here and probably adding on to corn. I know if I ran a big fund, I'd be short corn. Probably long beans. Probably be short corn and long beans. But it's not looking great. So if you aren't hedged, you aren't priced, or you're looking for ways to do it, whether it be through, I still like our bear spreads. I like put protection. I think you can actually get some pretty, I got to tell you, I think you should get some pretty cheap put protection farther down than, I mean, I know this sounds kind of crazy, but a 350 put in Dees corn. Which some people probably think is way too low, but based on my numbers, we could be 50 cents in the money. I mean, it's 7 cents. I mean, you could buy the 350 and sell 450 in corn and be a credit. I mean, I just don't see it this year with the corn crop. So, we'll be looking at more things. I'll come up with more ideas. If you need some help with it, let me know. And we can have some working orders. Again, I'd leave the upside alone for soybeans, but for corn, it's just not looking great. And hopefully, if we do get a rally in January from the WASD report, unless it's just like massively bullish by like 300 or 400 or 500 million bushels, right, to the, you know, to, let's say, to the bulls, it's gonna be a tough year for corn in 2020. So don't want you to be a bummer there, but that's just where we see it. And here's another thing too. If you do sell corn, you can, you know, in the deferred months, which is what I like, because you collect the carry too. During short-term periods of potential bullishness, we can always just buy the front months. And if we do go up a nickel or a dime, we can take it off. This would be corn. And then just stay short the back months. The best sales I've made of the past 5 years is just selling the back months. So, anyways, if you'd like to put a plan in place, let me know. I will be in the office tomorrow for about a half day. I am at a speaking event down in Peoria, and then I'll be also back in the office on Friday. If you need anything, let me know. Thanks to everyone who listens to these. I will post my tables up, and I'll be doing more work on the supply and demand tables next week too. Hoping to get a webinar together and some videos for hedging, something that's not so topical, but a little bit more on the subject matter of marketing. So if you have any thoughts or ideas, always welcome to that too. So have a great week, everyone, and I'll be talking to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.